Blog Talk Radio. Allow you to see it in 3D, which is our beauty segment. So we have a full, complete show Miss Jessica will be interviewed in the Hot Topics with Auntie. So I want everybody, I'm going to tell you something. Tonight, you may want to have something to write with. You may want to have some paper, because we're going to be talking about how you can become financially empowered, and you don't want to miss this. But I'm going to let Miss Jessica come on and just tell you hi tonight and just let you guys know where she hails from. You know, I want her to talk a little bit about what she is currently doing, how we met, that kind of thing. So, Jessica, just say hey out there to the people out there in Radio Land so they can know that you're here with me.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Jessica Irene from the great city of Atlanta, Georgia, and I am the 2017 reigning Miss Financially Savvy for the Women in Business pageant, and I am so glad to be here with you all tonight.
Yay, yay, yay. So, you know, when you can be in a business pageant and have a title like Financially Savvy, you got to be putting it down in the finance department. And hence why we are here on Curzon 3D Radio in our series, Financial Empowerment. And tonight, again, our topic is being money savvy. So we're going to be talking to Miss Jessica. She's going to interact with me tonight. So I want you guys to really let's dig in, because we definitely have a full show and we want to make sure that we are spending some time with Miss Jessica. If I have any of my other WIBB queens that are sharing in the show with us tonight, if you will press 1, we want you to jump on in and share this show with us tonight, because we love you and we want you to be empowered, and we want you to definitely be financially empowered. But if you are on, just press 1 and jump on in with us, conversate with us, chat with us, and have fun with us tonight. This is Auntie. You are in the Curvy Studios. Who I have with me tonight? 6606, you are live on Curves and 3D Radio.
Good evening. This is Miss Jessie Nelson, the reigning life-changing water now queen for
WIBB. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, 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 Miss Jessie. So glad to have you with us. And I know you bring some wealth of knowledge. We're going to be talking with you. Hang out with us tonight. So hold on. I'm going to bring somebody else in. 3004, you're in the Curvy Studios with Auntie. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hey. I am so excited. I am so excited. I have my pen and my paper, so I am ready to take some notes.
All right. This is the director of and the owner of Women in Business Pageant, Ms. Kia Urso of Urso Industries. So excited to have you with us tonight, and I know she's bringing a wealth of knowledge, and we've been talking. Matter of fact, I'm hoarse from laughing at her all night, but we're going to get through this tonight. I'm excited to have you, Kia, excited to have you, Miss Jessie, but really excited to have Miss Jessica Ballard with us, and we're going to meet her fully in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and jump right into Throw Me a Curve again, which is our In the News segment, because you know what? I like to be in the know. And we're talking about money tonight. And anybody that know me know that I am a what? Foodie. I love food. I love to eat. And I probably spend way more money, Miss Jessica, on food than I probably should, because I eat out every day. So, but in the news tonight and today, an article caught my eye, and it was, the title was The Shocking Amount You're Overpaying for Cheese on a Burger and More. So when I saw that, I said, that would be great for our money savvy, right? So I started reading the article. Girl, I got mad. I was like, are you kidding me? So I am a little bit more wiser tonight, so I'm going to share a little bit about that tonight, because it says that with good reason, a study from Plate IQ illustrates just how much restaurants mark up some items more than others. So I kept reading and I said, let me look at this. Then it went on to identify that restaurant profit margins are razor thin, like 2 to 6%. However, they mark up items that we all, I mean, who goes to a burger joint and don't get cheese on their burger. You understand what I'm saying? Or who goes to Chipotle and don't get guacamole or sour cream? But when I started looking at some of the toppings and their markups, it was like meat on pizza has a 525% markup. Can somebody say, sour cream on a burrito, 426% markup. Vegetables on pizza, 525% markup. Cheese on a burger, 417% markup. Guacamole on a burrito, 285% markup. I mean, sense-wise, you know, it may not seem like a lot when you go, but I've noticed that when I, if you're a sweet tea drinker or a coffee drinker like myself, and you're going through the restaurant, and I remember when they first rolled out the sweet tea, it was a dollar even. Now it's like $1.39, $1.49. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But when I looked at the cheese and it made it reality, because, you know, you look at 525% markup, but you don't understand it, but cheese costs 36 cents, but you pay $2 for it. So I was like, man, just think about how much money I can save if I don't get the toppings. But then I was like, if I don't get the toppings, it ain't going to taste right. You know, it's not going to taste the same. But 566 on average is the markup for an omelet, 475% is the markup for a spinach omelet. I mean, it's just like when you're out there and you're in these restaurants and you're eating, you don't realize how much of a markup that you are paying. And one comment on the Today news that I really like, at the end of the day, you're paying for the added taste and the convenience, of course, but you're not just paying for the slice of cheese on a burger, but you're paying for the worker's time, the electricity, the rent, and the pricey industrial stove. And so when you out there, ladies, gentlemen, Curves in 3D, listening our audience, when you're out there and you're ordering that cheese, remember it has about a 520% markup. And, Ms. Jessica, I chose this because I wanted to let people know that you can literally save money if you don't get the cheese. So let's talk about that. How do you feel about that? Miss Jessica. Okay, hold on. I'm going to pull her back in. Miss Jessica, can you hear me?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I never knew it was that much of a markup, so look, thank you, Auntie, for your research, but I knew that it did cost, you know, and I you know, just thinking about the extra cents that you're paying every month, every time you go out to eat and you eat a hamburger with cheese or pizza with cheese, you know, if you would stop doing it, you know, that's some extra money that you can save and put elsewhere. So, that's horrible.
I can, and Kia can attest to this because I went into Circle K a few minutes ago to pick up something. And I said, well, how much for a cup of ice? And the lady said, 64 cents. But you know what? I would not think twice, Kia, without, you know, I don't even give it a second thought that I just paid 64 cents for a cup of ice.
Yeah. But, you know, we're ice eaters. Ms. Jessie, don't you say anything, no comment from you. She understands it's an inside joke. But when you are an extreme ice eater, such as Auntie and myself, we generally know where to go to find the cups of ice that's either free, 25 cents, or no more than 50 cents.
But
it makes sense to go buy a bag of ice and put it in your freezer, but I don't want to do that. I want it from out of the store.
But the key to it, Miss
Jessie,
what you got to say? I know you want to say something.
I am. I'm here shaking my head like I got some work to do.
I know. I will get out of the bed in the middle of the night, throw on a wrap on my head to go get me a cup of ice. I'm serious.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's that serious. So, I mean, when I tell you guys that I don't think twice about if I see – if I'm – Kia was like, where are we going to eat at? We need to plan. Let's meet up tomorrow. I don't care. As long as I'm eating, I'm good. And now that I read this article, it's like a light bulb. Ding, 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 ding. You got to stop this because you don't – I don't realize how much money I spend eating out. Absolutely ridiculous. So I definitely wanted to bring that and it was more for me than it probably was for you ladies and gentlemen that are out there listening because I do eat out a great deal. So when I saw that, I was like, it makes sense. And then when I saw the cheese cost 36 cents and I'm paying $2 for it, that is a aha moment for me. So that is my throw me a curve. I know it's not my general news because y'all know I really love politics, but I didn't want to talk about Trump today, so I'm going to leave that alone. And I'm going to move on. And I'm going to go right into Fashion Forward. And Fashion Forward is being brought to you tonight by Impact, My Pretty Auntie Closet, www.mypretty auntie closet.com. And I wanted to talk about 6 fashion rules powerful women always follow. Let me say that again because I need everybody that's listening here on Curves in 3D Radio. We are a fashion connoisseurs. We love. I love everything fashion. Everything this show is based on is one of the segments is fashion. So I want to talk about this 6 fashion rules, powerful, not just women. Let me say it again, but powerful women always follow. You know, we always talk about IQ and EQ, but what about AQ? That is aesthetic intelligence, particularly when it comes to the visual aspects of our identity. It reflects your ability to pick up social cues and communicate effectively. That is what your aesthetic intelligence is. So, I mean, I consider myself a powerful woman and definitely cue in and hone in on aesthetic intelligence. I like to look great when I walk out. I don't wait on anyone to say, oh, girl, you look good. But I expect it because when I prepare myself and walk out to the door, I am expecting someone to compliment me because I have prepared myself aesthetically for that to happen. Now, as women in business, we have to invest in our appearance because when you invest in your appearance, it sends a positive message about who you are and how you want to be treated. I'm in the game. So I know that I have to look a certain way. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to look like a runway model when you're going out handling your business. You don't have to, you know, be that fashion or beauty icon, but you need to be aesthetically pleasing because when somebody has to want to look at you, be around you and be in your presence, people are attracted to people that they most want to be like. So you cannot sell a dream. You can't sell the dream of your business or the dream of your product and you look like a nightmare. Nobody don't want to hear what you have to say. So we have to be aesthetically pleasing. Does, you know, if you do have that, I like to call it charisma. But even charisma comes with a pleasant appearance. So I'm going to share with you 6 things that powerful, successful women, 6 rules that powerful women always follow. And if you know these, then you will be ahead of the game, not sometime, but every time. Number one, forget a lengthy beauty ritual. Forget it. You don't have time. Powerful women, we don't have time for that. You know, I know what I'm aware of by the time I, you know, get done with my meditations and my prayers. I already know what I'm aware of because every morning, God, what do I need to put on to, you know, attract people to me today? And by the time I get done, I go straight to the wardrobe, pick out what I'm aware, and I'm done. I don't fool with I don't put on eyelashes in the morning. I don't do that. I do my quick, and I'm done. So number one, forget lengthy beauty rituals. Don't even get into that. Number two, impeccable grooming. Impeccable grooming. You need to be A1A when it comes to your grooming. Down, making sure your shoes are not scuffy or ratty or tatty. Make sure that they look pleasing. The heel has a tap on it. Everything is going good. Head to toe, you look wonderful. You're coordinated. You're good. You have to have impeccable grooming. Hair, face. If you got dry lips, please put some chapstick on. That kind of stuff. Make sure your nails are not chipped, your toenails are not chipped. That kind of thing. That's what we mean by impeccable grooming. Distinctive style. Own your style. You know, everybody know me from my big curly hair, you know, my full eyes, big eyes. You know, I have things that are very distinctive that's auntie. It's my style. It's who I am. It's me. Red popping lips, it's me. So distinctive style. Strategic makeup. You don't have to have on a full face of beauty makeup, but just, and I don't do that every day. When I'm going somewhere special, I will put on a full face. But every day, I usually normally just use my Mary Kay powder, some lip gloss, and mascara. I'm good. Okay? Body, so have strategic makeup. Number one, forget lengthy beauty rituals. Number two, impeccable grooming. Number three, distinctive style. Four, strategic makeup. Five, body awareness. Be aware of your body. Dress to your body type. Conscious. I know my problem area is my mid area, so I make sure that things that I have on the right foundational pieces and that my clothes are fit to conceal my problem area. So make sure that you have body awareness. Number six, quality over quantity. I don't miss the mark on either one. I have every piece that I purchase is a quality piece, and then I purchase a lot of it. But quality over quantity. Don't think that you need five pair of black pants. Make sure you have one pair of nice black pants, if you get what I mean when I say quality over quantity. And then the next one is, and final one is, those are the ones that, those are the six, but I want to add a seventh one, personal. Don't charge it to the heart. Expert accessorizing. Be an expert at accessorizing. That's number seven. That's a golden nugget. Make sure you are an expert at accessorizing. All right, ladies. Now, if I had to ask you, Miss Jessica, one through seven, forgetting lengthy beauty rituals, two, impeccable grooming, three, distinctive styles, four, strategic makeup, five, body awareness, six, quality over quantity, and my extra added bonus, expert accessorizing. Which one you think is your, you got it, lock, sink, barrel, you got it, hands down, this one of those sevens is you all day. Which one is it?
I would have to say definitely number one. Look, I can be dressed in a matter of minutes.
Lengthy.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. All right, forgetting the lengthy beauty rituals. All right, Miss Jessie, what about you?
Well, for me, it just has to be my own styling.
So distinctive style?
Yes.
All right, and Miss Kia, what about you?
For me, I would say the accessorizing. I love accessories, especially you can take a black dress or a pink dress or a yellow dress that may be a solid color, but is certain accessories that you can bring that dress out with. So I am truly an accessory type of person. I have literally probably over 200 pieces of necklaces, earrings, bracelets, and of course, like Miss Jessie said, it's according to your own style, but I would definitely choose the accessorizing and not to over accessorize to take away from it, but just right.
So you would consider an expert at accessorizing?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And it's important that in anything that we do, that we find our strengths. And that's important for me, is to always find your strength. So hopefully you got it. If you're just joining us here on Curves and 3D Radio, this is your host, Auntie, and we're in Fashion Forward, Six Fashion Rules Powerful Women Always Follow. Six Fashion Rules Powerful Women Always Follow. So, again, make sure that you have, I want you to follow all six, because all six will make you that powerful, aesthetically attractive person, and when you look good, you feel good. I don't care what anybody say. When you look good, when you know you look good, that you exude so much confidence. So, but take all of them into consideration: forgetting the lengthy beauty rituals, impeccable grooming, distinctive style, strategic makeup, body awareness, quality over quantity, and expert accessorizing. So that is Fashion Forward here on Curves and 3D Radio. We are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be right back. And, of course, we're going to go into our food for thoughts and hot topics, because we definitely want to hear a lot more about Miss Jessica. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Are you stylish, sassy, sexy, sophisticated, and statuesque? If you answered yes, Impact, My Pretty Auntie Closet is the place for you to shop. From large to 3X, all fashions were selected with you in mind. Check out Impact on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at My Pretty Auntie Closet. Make an impact with My Pretty Auntie Closet in your closet. Shop today on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at My Pretty Auntie Closet.
All right. Our Fashion Fork was brought to you by Impact, My Pretty Auntie Closet, for the sassy, sultry, sophisticated statuesque woman. www.mypretyaunticlosset.com. All right, we're moving on. We're keeping this show hot. We are in our Food for Thoughts, and that is our inspirational, motivational segment. Miss Jessie, I got a good one for you. Jessica, I got a good one for you, because when I looked at, you know, and I always want to bring something that's motivational, inspirational, and I'm really cracking down on being what they call a minimalist. I don't know if that term, you're familiar with that term, Miss Jessica?
Yes, I am.
And the author, because here on Curves in 3D, we always choose a blog, and we pull some information from a blog. And tonight I chose Joshua Becker, 8 Countercultural Decisions to Find Financial Freedom. So when I was reading it, and something jumped out, he said the average American family still holds $6,700 in credit card debt, and 76% live paycheck to paycheck. And I was like, 76%? Is that not high to you?
That is extremely high.
That lives paycheck
high.
To paycheck?
Oh,
so I was like, whoa. But he was saying that, unfortunately, most people think more money is the answer, and it's not so. We all want our basic needs met, food, shelter, and clothing. We want those things met, but it appears that most of Americans are in financial trouble and are in need of some help. So he came up with 8 rules that will eight countercultural decisions to find financial freedom. So number 1 was purchase based on necessity, not possibility. I love that one because, of course, I am single, so I'm more of a impulse and emotional shopper. Even when it comes to larger purchase, things that, you know, cost over $2,000, I can get impulsive and don't always think about it. But his number one was purchase based on necessity, not possibility. Just because it's possible for you to do it, you shouldn't just do it. You should make sure that you're purchasing it because it's necessary. Number two, never carry a car payment. I am 100% in agreement with this. My truck broke down a month ago, and I just went and I paid $5,000 cash for a car. I do not like car payments. So I may not drive the Mercedes S550 or, you know, the latest trending, whatever's hot, Bentley and cars, because I can't see justifying a car payment. So his number two, and, you know, I actually was like, yes, 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 I'm in there. He said never carry a car payment. So that was good. And number three, in dual income households, I'm going to say this real slow so you guys can get it. In dual income household, don't spend the lesser income. Now, Ms. Jessica, I got you on the phone. What do you think? Why would you think that he would say that? In dual income household, don't spend the is he saying live on one income?
Basically, yes. Because if you only have two incomes coming into that home and you're spending both incomes, then what are you actually saving or putting aside or even investing? So it makes a lot of sense that, you know, the larger income is going to, you know, pay the bills and, you know, the food and everything else that's necessary, but the lower income is going to be put away, you know, for maybe saved or some sort of investment so that, you know, if you ever come to a place where that income, you know, that first income is no longer there, you have something additional to pull back on. So, yeah,
wow.
I agree totally.
I really found that, and I just found the full article, and he was saying that. He was just saying just that, that his boss encouraged him from early to live entirely on his income and save every penny of his wife earned, and that became the down payment on their first home. And
right.
Every one of their children's college funds. So if you are listening, I mean, golden, love it, don't spend the lesser income. Number four, blew me away, couldn't quite get it. I understand it because I'm not an alcohol drinker, but it says avoid alcohol. But when I understood it and I researched it a little bit, $50 billion each year is spent on alcohol. Despite the fact that 34% of Americans don't even drink.
Okay.
So his number four, and anything that he could have chosen to pick, he said avoid alcohol. Countercultural. Number five, never retire. Never. He said his dad was 92 years old and still working a full-time 40-hour-a-week job. And if you want to be able to do this, I have Ms. Jessie on the line, Ms. Life Changing Water Now, who knows people that are living 80 and 90 and are living healthy lives. So we're going to be having her on the show real soon to be talking about that. But his dad's 92 years old and still works a full 40-hour-a-week job, never retire. So I don't know if I want to work my whole life, but I can understand, you know, because both of my parents are retired, and had they not invested and planned well, they will be the and I go and I see elderly people on the turnpike working. I see elderly people in Walmart and Publix working, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so glad that's not my parents. But when I read this and I can understand why he's doing it, it makes it phenomenal. Number six, me again, I have not one credit card. I don't own one credit card. And number six was pay with cash. Pay with cash. So because you get in so much debt using a credit card, I love that. So I'm 248 on here, and I'm still working, so I guess I'm never I'm not retired yet. I can't say that I won't retire, but right now I'm still working. Give away at least 10%. That's my third one, because I do pay tithing. So give away at least 10%. So that was number seven. And number eight, put the spender in charge of family finances. Put the spender in charge of family finances. And I'm going to talk to you about that particular one, Ms. Jessica. What do you think he means with that one? Because to me, if a person is a spender, why would they be in charge of the finances?
Well, the way that I see that one is because that person is probably the one that's managing the money anyway, so they know what has to be paid out and what's being brought in. So at first when I saw it, I was like, huh, put the spender? But I just, you know, sat back and kind of analyzed it. But the spender is normally the one that's actually paying the bills, and they know what's coming in and what's going out. So, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, because I think if a person is the spender, but I would think if you got a family, see, with me, it's just me. So I'm everything. But if
right.
I had a husband and you like he would be like, Omega, you're spending too much. But then I would have somebody else to think about, and I think I would be more conscious, you know, of my spending. But I love that one, and I'm definitely going to look a little more into that, because that one did catch my eye and my attention. So this is Auntie here on Curves and 3D Radio. Thank you for joining us here tonight. We are going to go into our hot topic. We do have a caller. Caller one, your last four digits is 1497. 1497. You are live on Curves and 3D Radio. Let's talk about it. You have a question, comment, concern, or you just want to say hi? This is Auntie.
I just wanted to say hi. This is Gloria. I'm calling from Port St. Lucie. I was tuning in tonight, and I just wanted to say hi. So, very interesting topic.
Hey, Miss Gloria. Everybody's here. We got Miss Jessie. We have Kia. We have Miss Jessica. So just say, everybody say hey.
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 Hey. Hey, Gloria.
How y'all ladies doing?
Great.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Fabulous. Absolutely. And so glad that you can join us here tonight with our special guest, Miss Jessica Ballard, and I'm going to go ahead and introduce Miss Jessica. So just stay with us because we shouldn't be that much longer. So we want to definitely hear from you a little bit, too, concerning financial empowerment. Jessica Ballard, an international best-selling author, speaker, and lifestyle and finance coach. She is the CEO of Success Bound Enterprises and Financially Savvy Queen. She is the founder of Success Bound Group and the Cash Flow Academy. She is also the co-founder of Young Entrepreneurs and Position. Jessica helps individuals create money, manage money, and live a purposeful and fun life while doing so. She is on assignment to help families build legacies, create generational wealth, and to help you tap into your God-given purpose. She has a bachelor's degree in business and finance, and she is a certified financial advisor. Jessica is married to Mr. Nedrick Ballard, and they have four beautiful daughters and a son, right?
Yes, a new son, yes.
And a son. She is hardworking and loves the Lord with all of her heart and soul. Jessica knows what it is like to be homeless, helpless, and hopeless. And because of that, she pours her heart and soul into serving others. She offers key points on how to move from breakdown to breakthrough and how to begin living a fearless, fabulous, and fun life. She has been named Philanthropist of the Year, Motivational Entrepreneur of the Year, Female Inspirational Entrepreneur of the Year, and Business Lifetime. She has earned the Business Lifetime Achievement Award. Please welcome to Curves and 3D Radio this awesome, what powerful, super bad sugar saw. Oh my goodness, waist high, knee deep, sister, money savvy, Miss Jessica Pilar, welcome to Curves and 3D Radio. We are so excited to have you. Woo, woo.
Wow.
Look,
thank you.
After that intro.
Woo, yes. Yeah, 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 Lord. Hey. Look, I was a tad bit sleepy. Look, I was a tad bit sleepy, but until that introduction, I am up.
And hey, y'all just wait till the pageant. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
Wow, I am excited, girl. I love it when a sister is doing due diligence. Let me say this. How do you balance family and career and everything that you're doing? How?
Oh, my God. Well, as you stated, I do have four daughters, and I just had my son recently, about 2 months ago. So it's a little hectic right now because he's still young, waking up at night. So, usually I'm up at night with him. So, just balancing for me is, first of all, I'm just going to be transparent. I got to write everything down. If I don't write it, I don't remember. So I have to keep my planner, and I've had friends that say, put it in your phone, a reminder. I can't, I don't hear that phone. I will not remember. I will not hear it, nothing. So I have to old school it. I have to write it. So I have to write everything down. I have to pre-plan and, just pretty much get everything set up. And one thing that I am dealing with and working with now, because I've been told, by my coaches, because every coach should have a coach anyway.
You better.
So by my coaches and mentors that, I need to outsource a lot. And that's one thing, that I'm focusing on this year, because I have tried, I try to be everything, everything to,
right,
to myself,
right,
and everything to everybody else. So, that is one area that I am working on, just getting extra help where needed, and, just getting extra help, period, on some things that take me 3 hours that it takes somebody else 20 minutes. So,
minutes to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
right,
I know
right.
how hard that can be, because I'm right there with you as far as the needing the help, the outsourcing to get help, even if it's getting an assistant or whatever, because it's so hard for me to let go. And
right.
I know that it is hurting me and it's limiting me, because I could be doing something, what I call, and I'm not saying that I would put minimal tasks on somebody, but it's certain things that we can't delegate out and somebody can be responsible for. So I can understand how difficult it is for you to let certain things go. But not only are you mom and wife and career woman, but you also homeschool your children. So what is it like homeschooling and working from home?
Wow, okay. Some days it's very, very hectic, but in the end I know it's going to be rewarding. So, I just continue to press my way on that side. But it's schedules. Everything we have to, I schedule everything out, and my kids are, pretty much on their P's and Q's, because we've been doing this for quite some time now. So, my oldest, she's turning 13, so she's a great big help to me, and, getting the little children up and ready and working with them. And just that alone allows me, some time to kind of work on business, make phone calls and things of that nature. So just, pretty much schedule, because, I have four kids that's seven and under. So, it's a lot of screaming some days, and it's a lot of running and moving and activities going on. And not only that, I have my three-year-old, she has epilepsy. So, every day looks different in that arena. So, some days is I need mom, so I just have to lay her on my lap and continue to do what it is that I'm doing. But once you've done that for so long, it kind of comes second nature. You just put across
right.
the lap and continue typing on the computer, or continue, on to your phone calls and, and so on. And then baby, he's on my hip and I'm cooking. So it's kind of, it's kind of a balancing act, but, I know that the reward is greater. So, I constantly remind myself of that, every day, that what I'm doing is going to be so much greater later. So, you know, just constantly reminding yourself, you know, that, you know, it might be work right now, but, you know, the prize in the end is going to be greater. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And now, do you come up with the – I'm an educator, so I'm getting off script a little bit. But do you come up with the curriculum for the children, or do you use the Atlanta, State of Georgia curriculum?
Oh, Lord, no. I do write curriculum for them myself, and I also, like, incorporate other curriculums, like the Becca curriculum, mm-hmm. you know, for a Bible and things like that. You know, we just kind of – we kind of world school in a sense, because I travel so much. So, you know, sometimes it's at the museum, sometimes it's, you know, they got to go to Washington, D.C. and, you know, sightsee the Capitol and things like that. So, you know, sometimes we step out of the norm and do a little of our own thing as well. And that's one thing that I like about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. I love that part too. Now, let's get into the meat and potatoes. So we're going to start talking finances in just a second. I'd love to get a little bit of background and let the audience know and have a little bit of background knowledge. But let me ask you this. What inspired you to become an entrepreneur?
Okay, well, first I will say that I didn't come from a line of entrepreneurs. So, you know, I'm I guess, first generational entrepreneur, but I just got tired. You know, I got tired working somebody else's job, because I done hospital, I done psychiatric unit for years, and I just got tired of being away from my kids, being away from my family, you know, just having to jump up when they call, you know, and said I needed to come in. I just got tired of that, you know, and not only that, but, you know, we took a loss a couple years ago. You know, just my husband and I working for other people, and my husband losing his job, you know, a week before we were due to have our fourth kid. And, you know, we were kind of lost at that point, and I was like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? Eviction notices coming and just everything of that nature. So I was like, no, we got to do something different to make sure. You know, we have our money. So, I decided, you know, let's go the entrepreneur route, because we're going to have to work hard, but at least we know what's here and what's not here. So, you know, those things kind of motivated me to go that route.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And sometimes life happens in that sense that it make you say, because that same something similar happened with my brother-in-law, who was working in. They had just closed on their new house, and he lost his job right after closing, and he vowed that he would never be in that situation again, and he started his own lawn business, and now it's extremely successful. So sometimes life happening can push us to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
Let me say this, because right now I'm on a journey to strengthen my financial resolve. So some of the questions may be a little bit about me, and I'm going to open the lines up so everyone else can have an opportunity to ask whatever questions. So if you don't mind, we are going to have a kind of like a little quick Q&A. We're going to do a speed Q&A, so we're going to be asking you some questions. So I'm going to go ahead and ask this one. Why did you start Financially Savvy Queens, and what is the mission of Financially Savvy Queens?
Well, I started Financially Savvy Queens because, for me, I realized that, you know, a lot of times it's the, you know, it's us women that, you know, actually deals with the finances of the house while, you know, our husbands or significant others are working. So the mission of Financially Savvy Queens is to equip, you know, mainly women to become financially literate. You know, because we need to understand our money first before, you know, we can go on to create more and invest and things of that nature. So that is the mission of Financially Savvy, is to, you know, reach as many households as we can this year through our tour, you know, and help them to become financially literate and put some, you know, streams of income into place so that they don't have to worry about finances.
Now, how long have Financially Savvy Queens been in existence?
Okay, God just gave me Financially Savvy about a year ago, and it's just, I kind of played with it and lagged with it, to be honest. I've been helping women, but not under that label. But now it's coming into play now. You know, I'm doing a lot more work with it now. So, about a year.
And is it like a coaching session with you? Is it like an ongoing mentor-coach situation, or is it more like a class or a workshop? What would you consider it?
Financially Savvy Queens is the brand, and under that brand, it's we're going to be touring. Right now we're at an 8-city tour for the remainder of this year, just going into different cities, educating women and, kind of getting them started with their different streams of income. Because I am, I guess, affectionately called the passive income-ista. So I like to help women create ways to make money while they're, while they sleep.
I barely really sleep, but I still want to make money. And because you're talking about those streams, and I'm very passionate, like I said, I'm coming to a financial resolve. I know that you are, and you speak about 7 streams of income. And I'm so in tune to understanding these 7 streams of income. So I want you to share with Curzon 3D Radio listening audience, what is 7 streams of income and why is it important?
Okay, so I will first say this. 7 streams of income is not, and I repeat, not 7 jobs. So, that can go in a lot of different directions. Passive income, most people are familiar with active income. It's, jobs, it's things that you're physically doing every day. But passive streams is, you put in time or you put in money, and you get a return off of that forever. So that is the area that I'm mainly working with women in. And of course there's investments and things like that, that I touch on as well in my, private coaching and in my group coaching programs as well. So just diversifying your portfolio, that is what 7 streams is. And we all need to do it. If you're not doing it and don't know how, you need to connect with me or connect with someone that can help you diversify your portfolio. So, that's the number one thing. And that looks different for everybody, so.
Yep.
All right. I am going to open the lines and ask any of the queens, WIBP, anyone that is listening in that may have a question. We are about 7 minutes to show in, so we want to make sure that we are getting our questions in. So if you have a financial question for the Money Savvy, Ms. Financially Savvy, Jessica Ballard, please go ahead and ask your questions. WIBP, the lines are open anyway, so you ladies may ask.
This is Jessie. And, Jessica, I have a renewed respect for you because I also homeschool, and that is hard work. That's a job within itself.
Yes.
But one thing I did notice, the kids are much further ahead because they're getting that individual, and you're setting them up. And also, part of the things that we did with our kids was we incorporated money, how to use it, how to do a checkbook, how to work credit cards. I could trust my kids with my card and send them shopping and know they're going to stick to that budget, and to this day, it just works. Whereas, unfortunately, they don't do that in school.
Right.
Kids have no idea. They come out and it's just, it's in my hand. I need to send it. So, if you could use the school system and incorporate a class, what would that class look like?
Well, exciting, because that is one thing that I'm actually working on doing is getting into the schools. And that class would look like down from the money saving to entrepreneurship, because that is one thing that I do with my kids. Like I said, my oldest is turning 13 next month. She can do just as, you know, everything that you stated about allowing your kids to go in the store and sticking to the budget because you taught them is the same exact thing that I do with my kids. And that's one thing, another thing that I love about homeschooling as well. So that would be money saving and entrepreneurship, because one thing that I did with my daughter was I took her into McDonald's and she seen what the amount of money they were making. And she at this time she was into designing clothes, and you know, we did a class right there in McDonald's on money management. So, and how she would be able to make more money than that and spend less time working. So that is what that class would look like, how you can be an entrepreneur, make more money in less time, and then how to manage those funds. That's what I would go into the schools and teach.
Absolutely.
And I'm with you 150%. That is so needed. And, you know, you teach a child and you're changing the world. So
right.
More power to you. Go for it.
And as an educator myself, I can truly say I would love to see that. And my kids get it from both ends. They get the academic, but they get the life lessons in my classroom too, because as an entrepreneur, I feed them that. Rather, you know, and I'll always say, and anybody in my classroom will know, this is not a reading lesson, this is a life lesson. And I have a saying that if you relate everything to money, you'll never be broke.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to teach them that, and teach them that I work at Polk County School District. It's another stream of income for me. It's one of my seven streams because it's my job. But when I leave there, I really go to work. And I teach them mm-hmm. to understand that, because we're not in those classrooms saying, like my parents said to us, go to school, get a good job. You know, they're not even hearing that, what we heard. Now, I don't know who else parents said that to you guys, but, you know, it was always understood. You would go to school, high school, graduate with a high school diploma, leave high school, go to college, because you needed to get a good job. And my parents understood to get a good job, you had to have a college degree. I have a master's degree, and I teach high school, making $40,000 a year. You understand what I'm saying? So, no, it's not even about that anymore. Entrepreneurship is definitely the way to go. And I think in America, we really need to be teaching our children entrepreneurship. Because these children today, they're not going into the mines or the fields or anything and doing no work. They don't even want to work at McDonald's. They think McDonald's is beneath them. But yet, you know, they're not getting it enough to go to college to do better. So I really do believe we need to be teaching entrepreneurship. So I love it. I wish we can definitely do that. Do we have Kia, did you have any questions, or Gloria?
I have a comment, and I am truly enjoying this. It's making me rethink some things financially on my end. And my other comment is, I had a conversation with a young lady on Facebook, actually, and a lot of people don't realize when you say multiple streams of income or 6, 7, 8 different streams of income, Jessica, you made a good point, because so many people think it's 7 to 8 different jobs.
Mm-hmm.
As though, okay, I got to go to this job, I got to go to that job, I have to go to this job. And they don't realize that you can have multiple streams of income under your one business and expand on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a lot of people that think when, you know, they hear multiple streams, they put in their mind, okay, I have to go and do all of these things. But think about companies like Johnson & Johnson, who is owned by Kimberly Clark. You know, we have the women products and the toiletry products and the baby powder. All of that is under one company. But it's multiple streams of income for different types of products under the same umbrella. So I just wanted to make that comment that, you know, people, it's important for us on the phone as business owners to let people know multiple streams of income not mean is more than one job.
Right.
Right. And I was going to add to Kia, because I know, you know, a lot of us, we do coaching, and just coaching alone, you know, I could pull, you know, 5 or 6 incomes out of coaching, you know.
Exactly.
Speaking, you know, training, you know, you can pull so much out. But what I have realized is sometimes people need someone to sit down with them to show them how to pull out from what they already have, because sometimes we're leaving money on the table. We're doing stuff, but we're leaving money on the table because you don't have that extra eye to tell you. And that's one thing that I can say that I've always been very good at. You know, I can hear you tell me something, and I can tell you how to pull 10 strings out of that one, you know, that one comment that you make. So you're right, absolutely.
And that's why, and I'm going to get in the hot seat here, Miss Jessica, because I need you to, you know, and I call the hot seat when I, you know, fix it, help me fix it, because I do. I have the coaching, Enhance You Image and Success Coaching. I have Impact, My Pretty Auntie Closet. I have the Temp-T2-2, the 3D Plus Modeling, and I'm pulling income from, you know, sporadically, let me just be transparent, from these things. You understand what I'm saying? And I need to become stronger at it, at you know, making sure that if I'm saying that I want to make, you know, $2,500 from selling clothes online every month, not hit and miss, you know, so it can really truly be a stream. And when I think about a stream, I'm thinking about a constant flow.
Right.
Not a hit and miss. So if somebody that's hitting and miss, is that, you know, I mean, I know that it's something that I want to do, but how do I make it a constant stream?
Well, I think that kind of goes back to what we was talking about in the beginning, and that's outsourcing, you know, because, you know, I know you're at school, you know, teaching, and, you know, I would say, well, what is, you know, what's happening with the clothes is online, but what's happening? If we had maybe somebody still marketing, maybe somebody adding new things and, you know, refreshing things and, you know, just communicating with the shoppers that come, you know, to buy online, you know, just kind of standing there in the gap when you're not there, you know, and a lot of times we say, well, how, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay them. But, you know, that's the thing. If you let that person in, maybe start with 5 hours or 10 hours, something that's manageable, and allow them to be in the gap when you're not able to be, you know, be in that gap. So, and that should increase the money, and it should make it constant so that you can get the income that you're wanting from that particular business. And, you know, it keeps it kind of running a little bit more stable at that too. So, you know, that might be, you know, something that, you know, everyone want to consider, especially if you're running multiple things at a time. So that would be my advice.
And I also want to add, Auntie, as a matter of fact, this afternoon I reactivated my Hootsuite because, you know, we also have to take advantage of the resources that are out there for us, you know, to help us increase our revenue from whatever our business is may be. Because when I went through Hootsuite today, you can have, I mean, it will take a little bit of time, but for, I think it's 12, no, I'm lying, it's $11.99 per month, you can have, schedule your ads to go out as often as you want them to on all of your social media sites. So, you know, it takes a minute to sit down, maybe like on a Sunday,
and
set it up. But then you can set it up for however long you want it to. So if you want it to go out for 2 weeks and you sit there and rotate between which ads or which advertisements is going to go out there in your, you know, in your multiple social media accounts for $11 a month. It should start to, you know, get more people to see it because you're constantly posting.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely fair. Ms. Jessica, one last question I want to ask. What's coming up for Financially Savvy Queens? What's next?
Well, so actually we're getting ready to release this week. I finally went ahead and outsourced some things and got some help. So I have new logos and new everything coming out this week for a membership site. And I also have the 8-City Tour is coming. We'll be in Florida. We'll be, of course, in Atlanta, Houston, New Orleans, Memphis, Chicago. So, you know, though that's the big thing. The tour is the big thing. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about how many lives are going to get changed on that tour. So,
now, are you doing the tour individually or are you doing it collaboratively?
Some stops will be collaborative. We're still putting all the details together, but some stops will be a collaboration because that is one thing that I believe in is connecting and collaborating. So, you know, I'm very interested. If anybody here on the call, you know, would like to collab on something or just connect in some of the cities, I'm very open to that. You know, we're going to need workshop facilitators, speakers, a little bit of
Kia,
everything. And,
The
you see how Auntie trying to volunteer me?
No, I am going to volunteer you because you need to be getting out there, number one, because I'm going to push you as a mentor and coach. I got to push you. But number two,
right,
you got a 10-city tour. You might as well connect with women in business, and you might as well connect with Ms. Jessica and make that happen. She just said she's going to have facilitators and people that need to be conducting certain workshops. This is a win-win
Jessica,
situation.
Do y'all see how she throwing me under the bus? Do you,
yes,
do you
ma'am,
hear that?
Let's put her under the
bus.
I'm
putting you on top of the bus. I don't put you as a billboard on the bus. Don't play.
Look, put her on the hood of the bus. Let's go.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jessica, we definitely will need to have a conversation.
That's it.
Okay.
Because Women in Business is planning a 10-city tour anyway,
right,
and, you know, with a facilitator, and we definitely wanted two trainings and a workshop. So if we can get in where we can fit in and you are already planning, we can just go on in and plan and make it a win-win situation. I love
right.
it. I absolutely see, this is what connecting is all about. This is what
right.
why we do what we do, because at the end of the day, it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Right.
So I'm excited. Miss Gloria, did you have a question for Miss Jessica?
No questions. You guys are having an awesome topic. I'm just listening.
All right. I am super excited. I mean, anytime that I can, you know, become wiser through my finances, it's a win situation for me. And now, Ms. Jessica, I know I said, you know, because we were just talking about collaborating. You speak a lot about connecting, collaborating, and crushing. But what does that mean to you, and how does it help you? Especially that crushing part. I'm ready to hear about that.
Well, I just find, you know, when you connect with other people, you know, it makes it a lot easier because everybody takes a task and get the job done, and we can crush, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, and, you know, everybody wins. So I'm very big on that. I'm very, very big on connecting, collaborating, and crushing because it's enough for all of us. You know, there's no need for me, you know, no, I don't want to connect, you know, and I just want it all for myself because that's not me, never been me, never will be me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just makes more sense to me to be able to connect, you know, with other people, you know, and collaborate and be able to crush whatever it is that we're doing. on top of that, you know, everybody's network is different. So, you know, when we put all our networks together, you know, of course we know the saying, our network equals our net worth. So,
our network.
Right. And I'm all about, you know, everybody winning. So, you know, and that's how my, you know, the tour is going to look different because, you know, everybody that support have an opportunity to earn money. And I've strategically studied that for over a year by being on other people's platforms. So, you know, so that's one thing that's going to be different, you know, as we move forward. So, you know, that's
exactly what Kia and I have been talking about for WIBP. When we go and we're doing these tours, everybody get paid. Everybody.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, if we can't be successful, if we can't increase our net worth, then what's the purpose? So,
right.
I mean, just what you're saying, and you were not in the in our presence and nowhere near us, but everything you're saying is what we have been saying. And I can't help but to believe that, you know, all of us collaborating, connecting, and crushing together, that we won't all be successful. You understand what I'm saying? So, Kia, no, baby, I ain't throwing you under the bus. Matter of fact, we ain't going to even get on the bus, boo. We riding limos and Bentleys and
yes,
2008 Saturn Auroras and Kias. And we rolling.
We sitting back. We being chauffeured. Come on now.
That's it. I love it. So I'm just saying that everything that you're saying, we have been saying, and I just know that if we pull it all together, get on a conference call, anybody that want to be involved, and we can definitely make this happen. Because at the end of the day, we are women in business. And
right. And
I love the definition of an entrepreneur. We go into business to make a profit. And we need to be making sure we're our businesses are prospering. That's important to me. So I am excited. I'm going to bring Ms. Kia Urso on so she can get a quick commercial in for WIBP. And I just want everybody that you heard on, because we haven't had any guests, to press one. I'm sorry, I didn't even say it. Press one if you're listening. You have to press one to come into the conversation. But every lady that voice that you have heard tonight is a part of Women in Business. So I'm going to bring Ms. Kia Urso of Urso Industries onto the call tonight, under the show tonight, so she can kind of tell you a little bit about WIBP, Women in Business Pageant.
Yes, yes, yes. I am truly excited about Women in Business, the Women in Business Pageant, which is happening July 7th and 8th of 2017, all the way in the beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And the Women in Business Pageant is technically is a business showcase in the style of a pageant. And the women entrepreneurs will have the opportunity to showcase their business in a friendly competition against other women entrepreneurs. But the purpose of it is for women to come together, is for us to glean off of each other, learn from each other. And the ultimate goal of it is for you to become a better business owner. Whatever your weak areas may be, my prayer, my purpose, my mission is for you to feel changed overall. When you leave July 8th, I want every woman who participate in this pageant to have a renewed mind. So we are still accepting a few more people to come in. If you are interested, we will welcome you with much love and passion. The ladies so far, men, auntie, ladies, you guys have no idea how grateful we are to have the group of ladies so far, because everybody get along. There is some true, genuine love. So if anybody is listening and you're interested, you know a friend who may be interested, who's a business owner, they can go to www.womeninbusinesspageant.com to register. And the fee is $200, but we will go ahead and accept a $50 deposit, and we will make payment arrangements. You can contact either myself or the illustrious Auntie.
Woo woo! Yes, yes, I'm excited. We have three divisions, the MRS for our married ladies, MS for our single but over 30, widowed or divorced, single widowed or divorced, over 30 is an MS division, or our MISS, which is our 19 to 29-year-olds. So any one of those divisions and the areas of competition, our interview showcase, 2 to 3 minute business showcase, dressy pant wear, and evening gown. So it is something that's very doable for everyone, and we welcome all business owners, 501c3s, LLCs, Inc.s, sole proprietors, S-Corps, you can ministries. If you are producing profit, for-profit, not-for-profit, or non-profit, you can participate in Women in Business Pageant, and we will be excited to have you. So give me a call, 304-504-MPAC, 304-504-MPAC, and ask for Auntie, and we can definitely get you in and register. Miss Jessica, I want you to let everyone know how they could reach out to you, join with you, collaborate with you, how they can coach with you, because that's important. We want to make sure that we're spending some time with you, and I'm definitely going to be connecting in a coach, mentor-mentee situation, because I need to get to the next level. So I want you to share all of your information. Actually, and I want you to tell them how they can get your book. That's important to me, too, because you do have a book that's published, The Journey to Success in Life, Love, and Business. How can they help you? How can they get that book from you as well?
Okay, so actually I have three books published. I am a three-time international best-selling author. So you can contact me at Jessica at financiallysavvy.com. That's my email. Or you could also reach out to me on Facebook at you can go through my pageant page at Mrs. Financially Savvy, or on Instagram at Financially Savvy Queens, you know, for the books or for coaching questions or anything of that nature. I'm mainly on Facebook. I'm on Facebook a lot. So that probably would be the easiest route. And that's the pageant page is probably the easiest, Mrs. Financially Savvy.
Okay, all right. And Ms. Kia, can you give out your contact information and how anyone that's interested in Women in Business Pageant, again, if you can tell them how to reach you?
Most definitely. Again, you can go to the website, which is www.womeninbusinesspageant.com. We are also on Facebook as Women in Business Pageant. Well, it's just Women in Business Pageant on Facebook, as well as my name. You can reach me by my name, Kia Urso, K-I-A-U-R-S-O. And if you need to contact myself, you can call me at area code 813-563-8662.
All right, all right. And we also have our WIBP queen, Ms. Jessie Nelson. If you can give out your contact information and your pageant page, please.
Absolutely. My name is Jessie Nelson, and my phone number is 912-429-6606. I am Miss LWCN, Life Changing Water Now, and that is my Women in Business pageant page.
All right. And I, you had a show. Was can you talk about the show and how they can listen in for that?
Oh, for me?
Yes.
Let's see. I have to pull it up. We do a call every morning, and it is at 9 in the morning. And let me see. Give me pull that up. And the number to call in and just be my guest is 929-223-3001, and the extension or PIN number is 207-262-pound.
Okay, and that's every morning at 9 p.m. I mean 9
Monday
a.m.
through
every morning at 9.
9 a.m. Monday through Friday. And then when you do that, call me and, you know, tell me what you thought. I'll answer your questions. I love answering questions because I change lives.
All right. And Miss Frances, I know you have your show tomorrow. You're on live tomorrow at 12 noon.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's
all right. Could
life.
You give everybody your contact and information?
My name is Gloria. My show is Fit for Life. Let's Talk Health and Wellness with Coach Gloria. It's on Rise Up Radio Network, 12 noon Eastern Time every Friday. So I have topics of health and wellness. My contact number is, give me a break, it's the, you can call the show at the 215. Oh, y'all, excuse me, 215-383-3753 to call in and speak live. I also go Facebook and Instagram live every Friday at 12 noon.
And it's Fit for Life, correct?
Yes, yes, ma'am. Thank you for the opportunity.
All
thank
right.
you.
Yes, and whenever you ladies are here on Curzon 3D Radio, I will take every opportunity to promote you as well as your business. So anytime you're on, I always have that ready because you never know who's listening that could be,
yes.
you know, a new customer. So we want you guys to definitely be promoting your business. You can definitely reach out to me, everybody. This is Aunt T, 304-504-MPAC, M-P-A-C, 304-504-MPAC. I am on Facebook. If you type in Aunt T, you will find me. I'm also under Lifetime Queen, W-I-B-P. So if you want to find out anything about these ladies, if you go to Lifetime Queen, W-I-B-P, you will find me and you will find a picture of each and every one of these ladies because they are here representing women in business pageants. So I'm excited that you guys had an opportunity to join me here on Curzon 3D Radio.
Yes.
I'm going to leave you. My beauty tip today is a financial, 7 steps to financial freedom, 7 steps to financial freedom. Number one, reduce your expenses. Number two, start an emergency fund. Number three, increase your income. 4, blast away debt. 5, pay off your mortgage. 6, save and invest monthly. And 7, give back and treat yourself. So that is my beauty tips tonight because I want every one of you living a whole productive and financially free, debt-free life. So take those 7 tips, reduce your income, start an emergency fund, increase your income, blast away debt, pay off your mortgage, save and invest monthly, and give back and treat yourself. Use those 7 steps to become financially free. This is Aunt T here on Curzon 3D Radio. We will see you back here next week, same time, same great station, with the same smiling faces. On Curzon 3D Radio in the Curvy Studios. Keep it curvy, baby. Deuces. Love y'all.
Here we go.
Thank you for joining us here on Curzon 3D Radio. This is your host. They do call me the illustrious, the bad, the bold, the beautiful, Omega Auntie Mother Seals. Thank you for sharing with us tonight in Money Savvy with Miss Jessica Ballard of Financially Savvy Queens. And she's also the reigning 2017 Miss Financially Savvy with Women in Business Pageant. So excited to have you guys with us here tonight on Curzon 3D Radio. Check us next week, same time, same station, same curvy and smiley faces. Have a good evening. Good night.